upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention. Among the importance of economic instruments and free markets were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. Before we start on the news today, I want to give you a few thoughts and ideas on something that's been weighing heavily on my heart. I want you to know that there is a glass ceiling in America that blocks and suppresses the evidence of sustainable development and technocracy. By and large, ordinary people get it, especially when they're presented with the evidence. This has been confirmed many times over and can be seen, for instance, with the consistent 5-star reviews of my books on Amazon, as well as with interactions with listeners on the many radio programs where I have been interviewed over the years. My work on technocracy has been validated by people like the late Dr. Michael Kaufman, the eminent environmental expert who helped me research and produce my first book, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. The renowned professor of climatology, Dr. Timothy Ball, wrote the foreword to my latest book, Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. Internet statistics for Technocracy News reveal that readers come from 206 nations from around the world, some of which I never even knew existed. Years ago, when I was writing on economic issues and the Trilateral Commission's role in globalization, I approached townhall.com to write a regular column. They replied that my material was too radical, and that's the last I ever heard from him. Well, people want to know, but their thought leaders are failing them. I gave a presentation several years ago to debunk global warming. One great and very authoritative presentation was also given by a prominent scientist at a top Ivy League university. He came up to me after my talk and simply said, "You were a little hard on scientists." And that's the last I ever heard from him. I've sent review copies of my books to many prominent national organizations who are appropriately critical of one aspect of globalization or another. The result? Dead silence. One very well-known organization said that my book was too religious. I never heard from them again. A few weeks ago, I spoke alongside several PhD subject experts to a group of very well-educated physicians. Many people in the audience came up to me afterwards and thanked me for the clear presentation. And they bought books, too. The other speakers? Dead silence. If I were to list their names, you would be shocked that they did not respond in a more favorable manner. Instead, they avoided me like the plague. Well, what's going on here? Honestly, I don't have a complete answer. But it is clear that many people only want part of the truth, but not all of the truth. Their vision is selective, filtered, and cherry-picked. For instance, scientists who criticize other scientists for being closed to debate on global warming will not even discuss technocracy or sustainable development with me, much less debate. In my opinion, this is intellectual hypocrisy of the highest sort. This glass ceiling, I can assure you, is the greatest barrier that America has to any true restoration or reconciliation. People who should know better need to stop hiding in the shadows and avoiding the clear evidence on where the world is headed and why. And I'll say in the meantime, I sincerely thank you for your support and encouragement to keep on keeping on. In the end, the facts will speak for themselves. The question is, will anybody be listening? Well, let's look at some news stories today. Three interesting stories in the news. One is absolutely outrageous. A BBC host in the United Kingdom, Michael Burke, says that the state should let fat people die to save the national health system money. This is unbelievable. Now, that statement alone is enough for shock. But down in the article, it tells you why. To combat global warming and climate change. I wrote, the radical anti-human side of climate change fanatics is clearly seen in this BBC host suggesting that fat people should be shunned from healthcare and left to die in order to fight climate change. The obese will die a decade earlier than the rest of us. See it as a selfless sacrifice in the fight against demographic imbalance, overpopulation, and climate change, he wrote. There are no words to describe how repugnant this is to humanity. This is just patently anti-human and anti-civilization. And there's nothing more that can be said about it other than to note that this is a prominent theme of all of the radical environmentalism surrounding sustainable development, aka technocracy. A new report has been issued by the World Resources Institute, a very prominent global think tank, supported in part by the World Bank. The headline is, Go Vegetarian to Combat Climate Change. That's right. I wrote the logical absurdity that a vegetarian diet will do anything to affect Earth's climate is deeply embedded into the radical green movement, which exclusively promotes the UN's sustainable development, aka technocracy. Note that the study referenced is sponsored by the World Bank. Unfortunately, the writer of the story goes on at the end to suggest that the answer to the dilemma is genetically modified food. That, he says, is the future of feeding the world. Well, Technocracy News takes great exception to that thought because man is not God and should keep his hands off the DNA of living organisms. He writes, the World Resource Institute, which is supported in part by the UN, is encouraging humans to give up eating meat. Doing so, they believe, will not only help with food supplies, but will also combat climate change. Become a vegetarian or watch the world starve to death and burn is the messaging, I guess. The report behind this, the WRI report, states that consumption of animal-based foods to rise 68% between 2010 and 2050, with an 88% increase in consumption of ruminant meat, that is, cattle, sheep, goats. These trends are a major driver of the food, land, and mitigation gaps. For every food calorie generated, animal-based foods and ruminant meats in particular require many times more feed and land inputs and emit far more greenhouse gases than plant-based food. Well, I encourage you to not run out and become a vegetarian simply because the World Resources Institute says so. If you're already a vegetarian or if you're a vegetarian for health purposes that you're comfortable with, that's your choice. I say continue in your dietary habits. But don't try and tell the rest of the world that if they are not vegetarians, that they're harming the world's climate. That's patently absurd. The third story is again rather shocking, coming from Yale University. That's right, one of the most prominent Ivy League schools. The article states, for cities in the United States, the price of infrastructure projects to combat rising seas and intensifying storms is coming into focus. And so is the sticker shock. In Boston, where many neighborhoods have been built and recently expanded in low-lying areas, an estimated $2.4 billion will be needed over the next several decades to protect the city from flooding. That report came as the city abandoned plans to build a harbor barrier that would have cost between $6 billion and $12 billion, which researchers concluded was economically unfeasible. Yeah, no kidding. Well, this is an amazing story coming from an otherwise legitimate educational institution, and you just have to shake your head. What are they thinking? Rising sea levels, I wrote, due to climate change, have been thoroughly debunked by top scientists over several years. But this apparently doesn't change the scaremongering rhetoric to drive massive spending to stop it, even though it doesn't exist. In 2009, the Telegraph newspaper from the UK headlined a story titled "Rise of Sea Levels is, quote, the greatest lie ever told." And here's what they wrote. If there is one scientist who knows more about sea levels than anyone else in the world, it is the Swedish geologist and physicist Nils Axel Mörner, formerly chairman of the INQUA, that is the International Commission on Sea Level Change. And the uncompromising verdict of Dr. Mörner, who for 35 years has been using every known scientific method to study sea levels all over the globe, is that all this talk about the sea rising is nothing but a colossal scare story. Close quote. In other words, the claim that there is some scientific consensus on rising sea levels is completely fabricated in order to drive sustainable development, which of course is warmed over technocracy from the 1930s, a resource-based economic system that is intended to completely replace capitalism and free enterprise and to change the entire nature of the global economic system, taking resources away from people and nations and depositing them into a global common trust that will be accessed only by the chosen few, the global elite, who are promoting globalization in the first place. This has been the story of the last 45 years, at least. The story isn't over yet, but dogma like this is so embedded into academia, into political rhetoric, that it's almost taken on a religious nature. Don't bother me with the facts. I know what I believe. And Yale has bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. About all you can say to these people is shame on you for not practicing the science that you say you believe in. Well, I hope you have an opportunity at some point to get a copy of Technocracy Rising or Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. Check it out. There's a lot of dots that need to be connected yet. We're not done. I hope you're not done either. Reading is rapidly becoming a lost art in the world, I realize. But there is great value of holding a book in your hand with a pen or a pencil or a marker, making notes, reading paragraphs again if necessary to understand them. If you're absolutely married to electronic reading, there's a Kindle version available on both books on Amazon.com. And on the other hand, if you want to distribute a few books to friends and colleagues and whatever around your own area, if you go to technocracy.news in the store there, you'll find a deeply discounted schedule for purchasing multiple books. The schedule goes down to 50% for 10 books or more. I hope you're able to engage people in your community, whether it be city council members, neighbors, county commissioners, thought leaders, newspapers, media. It's up to you at this point to spread this information. Please do share the articles. every chance you get on technocracy.news. There's a great little share bar at the top of each story. And if you don't see the social media network that you're looking for, if you click the very right icon, which is the share icon, 101 different social media platforms will pop up to you. You can select it and share it instantly. This helps us get the word out. And as I said, this doesn't help us necessarily break the glass ceiling, but we need to get this information out to people around America so they can consider what action they need to take in order to clean up some of the stuff in their own communities. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll catch you next time. We'll be right back.